feel like Christina and I have been on a really beautiful journey of seeking deeper the Father's heart and ultimately letting God reveal to us his intention for all this, that Edenic intentionality of why he built us in the garden. Like why we're actually here, what we're doing here. The church has done a great job telling us what we're saved from. And there's a shift, I think, happening where we're awakening into the invitation of what we're saved for. Whew. A reconciliation of family, friendship, union, delighting in him, enjoying him. Jesus came for so many reasons on top of saving us for our sin that he really wants us to recognize, to walk in the fullness, to become awakened, arise and shine in full authenticity to a world around us. That privilege we have is to bear his image and likeness. And it's incredible, the privilege to actually be human and to be here and walk and talk with him. I feel like the two goalposts in our life the last couple of years, and I feel like it's kind of been through parenting that we've kind of found more of wanting to discover the true nature of the Father, because as you become a parent, you recognize a nature in you as you're with looking at your son or daughter and going, wow, there's something in them that's appealing me to love them beyond comprehension, even when they're crazy. And the Holy Spirit whispers and go, that's how I see you. That's how I see you. And it's crazy because in the garden, that was the two things the enemy tried to do in the garden. He tried to deceive you with two big goalposts of life. The first is he said, did God really say you can't eat from the tree? So he's trying to warp your perception of the nature of God. He's trying to change how you actually see God. Because if he can warp how you see him and change your perception of him, that'll dictate your proximity in which you live close to him. So he's trying to warp that perception of us. Did he really say, is that really his nature? And then the other thing the enemy tried to do is he said, but if you do take from this tree, you can become just like him. He was trying to warp our status, but we were already made in his image and likeness. We were already sons and daughters. We were already children of the King. We were already made in his image. We were predestined. And so I've been on this discovery with Christine of really trying to let God reveal to us his true nature. And to let God reveal to us really who we are to him. And it's been paramount in our marriage. It's changed me. It's changed knowing the love he has for me and what it's caused in me, the undoing in me. It's been wrecking me in such a beautiful way. It's like every day I ask the Holy Spirit, Lord, remove the veil closer and closer past my eyes so I can see what it is in me that made you leave the 99 for me. Like, why did you leave the 99 for me? What is it in me? Like, he actually knows you better than you know you. And the Lord has been really inviting us into a season of authenticity for us to ultimately become fully aware and awakened to how he sees us fully. Because if we can start to gaze at his eyes and see the reflection of how he sees us, that will be the fuel source that causes an arising and a shining to everyone around us. That's what's going to cause an authenticity to awaken. It's what he says of you. I love how Christine said a month ago, like his thoughts for you are like the sand of the seashore. I wanted to just put up this verse, Matthew 16:13-19. This is a moment where Jesus was talking to Peter. And he says, when Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, who do people say the Son of Man is? They replied, some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others, Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. But what about you, he asked, who do you say I am? Simon Peter answered, you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. Jesus replied, blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by flesh and blood, but by my Father in heaven. And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome. I love this. Don't see past this. It was upon Peter's revelation of who Jesus was that Jesus declared who Peter was. There has to be a moment of revelation for your life as we walk and talk with him where he reveals himself fully to you. And as he reveals himself fully to you, he declares fully who you are. And that is so paramount in walking forward. That's so paramount as being in a community here at the Vineyard to awaken, to arise and shine, and to impact the community all around us. It's becoming fully aware of his nature. And then he will reveal us and who we are to him. And we do that by letting him.
Well, it makes me think of, he says, we are like a mirror, right? So as we look into him,
yes,
his reflection, we actually see ourselves then, yes, the way that he is. So it has to be together. Often people are like, well, is it all about Jesus? Or some churches make it all about you. We've learned, yes, union language is us. So as we discover who Jesus is, experience him, he just, it's like a loving father will always share with you who you are.
That's right.
So it's union.
It's union.
It all comes back to,
yeah,
union.
Yeah, we've been on that journey with the Bible, how the Bible is not, it's not about just a father. If I was to write a book for my son and I just talk about me, but not talk about why he's a part of the story and what he means to me, there's this union language, this incredible love story that's captivating us. And that's what we've been invited into and locked into. And that's been a discovery as we travel deeper into the chasm of his heart, is what this all looks like. And he wants to rid any kind of religiosity in your heart, any kind of bondage. The enemy's number one tactic in the church is religion, to make you strive and have performance. I love that song we sung, right? It's not about performance or striving or perfection. And while we were singing, I could only imagine, oh man, I was undone. What a sweet presence in the room here this morning and tenderness. It's, as a farmer, I sense fertile ground when I see it. This is fertile this morning. And it's been amazing the last year being here, just seeing a continuation of the Lord, like making the ground more fertile for more to happen. It's been incredible. When I say I can only imagine, I just really felt, and I came up to Jeff and I just said, that has to be language now, that we actually are getting pieces of that imagination now. It's not just for the future. Like, I can only imagine, but it's actually now. It's here now in this church, in our hearts. We can actually start to imagine it because we can see him face to face. We can dance with him. We can talk with him. We can walk with him, share our stories with him. We can fall on our knees to him. It's amazing. I can start to imagine almost. That's what we're walking into. That's union living. That's friendship. That's the garden. That's the Edenic life. That's what he designed and made you for. He designed you to receive his love and to dance with him.
In my own walk, I wasn't going to share this, but in my own walk, I kind of like didn't expect to go down the journey of discovering God's love. I grew up in like a very religious household, I would say. For me, it felt very religious. There was a lot of conversation just around the wrath of God, do's and don'ts. When I was 16, I started having panic attacks where I would literally feel like I was just going to go to hell. And they would just come over me. I could be playing soccer and all of a sudden, I'd be like, I had so much fear around separation. And what's so crazy is religious bondage is like, oh, this is actually God. He's trying to scare you so you can come closer, or he's trying to scare you so that you can warn other people about separation. And as I went down this path of literally just all I could do was fall at my knees, be like, Jesus, I need you. He started flooding me with his peace. Yes. I would read the book of Psalms. I don't even know where in Psalms, but he would just flood me with his peace. And over time, I started to trust his love. When I was pregnant with Haya, I was like, well, I wanted to go and be a counselor, and I had all these plans of what I wanted to do, but I was still living in performance. It was just like, do it for acceptance, do it for love. And that's when the Lord really took me down this like baptism of love time. He's like, let go of everything. Just be silent. Like, just yield to me.
Yes.
As you're pregnant, just take away all your ambitions. Just be with me, my child. Like, I love you as you are right now. Like, do you trust my love for you?
Yes.
It's like he started taking me out of being baptized in anxiety. I'm sure many of us can understand that feeling of being submerged in anxiety. You can't get out of it. You're drowning. To baptized in his love.
You can never stop talking about his love.
Yeah,
it's like God doesn't have it. He is it. It's his essence. It's his being.
His isness.
It's his isness that saturates us and lavishes us. It's what separates him from any God that man has ever tried to self-create. Mm-hmm. It's what actually separates him from man's perception of how they put their own characteristics on a God. Mm-hmm. It's his love that is just a burning fire that lavishes us. It's unbelievable. So if you hear the Vineyard at large in the next months and years to come really talk about love, you'll never get bored because it's infinite and endless. And it is literally why you're here, to be loved and to love him. It's insane.
And often when we think like, no, I don't need more of his love. It's just fluffy stuff.
Yeah.
It's actually because we haven't encountered him to the depths enough.
That's right.
And in Song of Songs 8, Jesus, I mean, I don't know your stance on Song of Songs. I believe it's like Jesus who was bribed, whatever.
Let's go.
Jesus tells the Shulamite, like, set my love as a seal upon your heart, this burning flame that will never go out.
That's right.
Rivers of persecution cannot quench it.
That's right.
The rains of circumstances cannot quench it. Nothing can quench this love. And we often talk a lot about his love, but his love is like, there's justice in his love.
Yes.
Right? There's a strength to his love. It's fierce. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it's terrifying.
It can hurt.
And he wants every part of our lives. He wants every painful part of our lives. He wants every area where we have control or think we have control. His love really goes after that
part. Oh, yeah.
Part.
He'll pluck and prune. Yeah. He'll start to cut off anything you've associated mm-hmm. your identity with. I know we've been in a season of that.
Yeah.
Plucking gifts and talents he's given you to actually say, wait for a season because I love you enough to allow you to realize don't be in the bondage of Egypt by your gift or your talent or your possession I've given you, but to actually realize that I love you enough to pull you away from that first season to remind you of your first love, which is me.
So we belong to him.
We belong to him. And it's mm-hmm. the love of God that constrains us. That's one thing, that's a verse that we've been so impacted by. It's mm-hmm. like, gone are the days of like a 3-point sermon series that's talking on sin management. Hmm. Honestly, you ain't gonna get it here, I'll tell you that. We don't need that because sin management is a byproduct of letting the love of God constrain us to actually live and become fully alive. It's our oneness and our covenantal love that causes such a lavishment and saturation of beautiful bondage to one another in this beautiful way where we're captivated by one another, fascinated, we're mesmerized by one another. And so my eyes don't differ because of the love that we have. And that's what he's wanting from us. He wants our eyes to be so gazed and so set on him, a love that is so deep in him. So the ultimate question is we know he's in love with us, but are you in love with him? And maybe for some of you, that love can kind of come and go. Maybe there's things that kind of block it at times. But when you are in love, everything changes. Have you been fascinated by him lately? Have you been captivated by him lately? There was something that John had with Jesus that caused a grown man to lay his head on Jesus' chest. What was that? That was a captivation. John the Beloved, he knew he was loved. One of the most incredible things the Lord's revealed to me in this beautiful season is to become fascinated by him, to become captivated by him, and ultimately to become mesmerized by him. He wants me to remain childlike and innocent and tender. I look at my sons and daughters and I see such a childlike innocence as they walk and talk and discover life, and they're so fascinated and they're so captivated. They're so in awe of life. And the day that life wipes that smile off their face is going to be a painful day for me as a dad, but I know that I can lead them to the source, lead them to the one that will cause ultimate fascination, ultimate captivation. But one of the most incredible revelations that I've had about becoming fascinated in Jesus is somehow, some way, he was first fascinated in me. The Bible says that he loved you first. How did he love us first? He was crucified before the foundations of the world. Before you even were here, there was a love that he had for you that was so deep and wide, so incredible. You see, Jesus, he's in the long game of love. He's not in just destination business. He's in the journey business. He's willing to partner with you in sorrow. That's the privilege to be human. The privilege to be human is that in the frailty of our flesh that was made from the dust, we actually get to rely on Jesus, and he can protect us and nurture us, and he carries us out of the mud and the trenches right to his Father, if you let him. If you let him. The Holy Spirit revealed to me a few months ago, he says, Brandon, so many of my people don't think that I'm close, but the reality is it's not that I'm not close. It's because people actually don't let me be me. We're all in relationships here with friends, family members, in marriages. It's like, if you want that person to be fully who they are, you have to create a space where you let them. And every day I wake up, I try to do what I can for you, Kristan, to let you be you, to let you love me the way you want to let you show to me who I am to you. And it's in the letting that allows the freedom of you to be fully who you are. And that's actually what Jesus wants in us. He wants you to let him love you. And he's wired you in a way where you will uniquely realize and notice that. And so just let him, just speak to him.
I just encourage you, just turn your heart's affection towards him. In that area, in that inner chamber where Christ dwells in you as we speak. This is not us coming and...
Oh, yeah.
This is... We are in it together.
Oh, yeah.
We need him more. We need to learn how to linger with him.
Yes.
We need to know how to wait.
Yes.
Expectation. To believe that he actually wants to commune. It is the passion of his heart. It is the longing of the heart of Jesus to commune with you. That is why he died.
Yes.
To commune with your heart right here and right now. Not waiting till you're dead, but right now, because he died. That is the passion. I feel the longing of his heart. I feel the longing of his heart. We're not waiting for the feast, the wedding feast, although we're expectant. But this is how he prepares our hearts. This is sanctification. This is transformation. It's in the yielding.
Yes, yield.
We belong to him.
Yes.
You are his body.
Yes.
If you feel like you can't trust his heart towards you, just know this. No one, the Bible says, no man has ever hated his body. But he takes care of his body.
Mm. Yes.
Oh, he possessed his view. Allow the King of Glory to come through.
Yes.
Speak to your soul. You know, we're allowed to do that. We take... Yes. Authority over our soul. Like King David would say, soul, why are you so downcast? Just compassionately tell yourself, open up, heart.
Yeah. I just feel that in this moment, as your eyes are closed, you're just meditating on his presence. I just want to provoke fascination in you towards him. So just let this sink in. He invites us into the dance. He pursues us. He's unconditional. He's all-knowing. He's all-present. He loves me for who I am. He's made his mind up about you, and you don't have the authority to change his mind about you, no matter what you do. He wants you to know that you are the apple of his eye. He took 9 months to craft you and make you in your mother's womb. He knows every cell in your body, every hair on your head. His thoughts for you are more than the sand on the seashore towards you. He wants to walk with me. He lies down in green pastures with me. He wants my heart to become his home. Out of everything he built, my heart is his home. He made me in his image. He draws near to the brokenhearted. He came to serve, not be served. He took the keys from death and hell. He is the firstborn of many brothers and sisters. Romans 8:29, for he knew all about us before we were born, and he destined us from the beginning to share the likeness of his son. This means the son is the oldest amongst a vast family of brothers and sisters who will become just like him. He's showing us who we've always been from the start. He's reconciling the world back to himself. He gave up his life. Nobody took it. There's a worth in you that you have that he would suffer for you. Wow. I was worth the sacrifice of a son. Wow. He asked me to remain childlike. He removes the veil from us to make me realize that we are children, not orphans. He removes shame. He loves my childlike innocence. He calls me son, not slave. He never gives up. He doesn't want me to earn his love. He calls me friend. He calls me bride. He calls me his inheritance and his treasure. He resisted temptation. He came and wants to show the world the relationship that he has with the Father, to invite you into the same positional relationship that the Son has with the Father. You too can have. He's approachable. He's funny. He's safe. He's meek and humble. He's lowly. He protects, provides. He's our daily bread. He's the Prince of Peace. His hug and embrace is warm. He has a plan for me that brings me back to the understanding of my original blueprint, which is friendship and family with him. He's in the business of renewing minds. He actually conquered death. It's literally not even a thing. He saved you from death and separation, but he saved you for union and reconciliation. Thank you, Jesus. He's the good news. His first miracle was at a wedding to change water into wine. And he actually wants to change the water in you into wine. That you literally become a wineskin for a measure of wine to be poured out, where you're undone with celebration, joy, and delight in him. He teaches us to accept how deeply we are loved. He's the ultimate farmer. He desires the entire field to yield a crop. His heart is always about abundance. He's willing to take the journey to nurture the most littlest seed to receive the greatest harvest. He knows the potential of the harvest out there. He's just asking and waiting for the workers. He offered paradise to the thief on the cross. In perfect form, he showed us the true nature of the Father. When you see me, Jesus says, you've seen the Father.
The bridegroom king, arise, my dearest. Hurry, my darling. Come away with me. I have come, as you have asked, to draw you to my heart and lead you out. For now is the time, my beautiful one. The season has changed. The bondage of your barren winter has ended, and the season of hiding is over and gone. The rains have soaked the earth and left it bright with blossoming flowers. The season for singing and pruning the vines has arrived. I hear the cooing of doves in our land, filling the air with songs to awaken you and guide you forth. Can you not discern this new day of destiny breaking forth around you? The early signs of my purposes and plans are bursting forth. The budding vines of new life are now blooming everywhere. And the fragrance of their flowers whispers there is change in the air. So arise, my love, my beautiful companion, and run with me to the higher place. For now is the time to arise and come away with me. For you are my dove, hidden in the split open rock. You are hidden in the split open rock. You are hidden, and yet he calls you to arise, to trust him, to go through the archway of trust.
There's been such a beautiful theme here about loving our neighbor and how that is really such a great starting point to arise and shine. The Holy Spirit's been revealing to me that you actually have to love your neighbor as yourself. And the reason we don't love our neighbors is because there's areas that we don't love about ourselves. So we actually have to love ourselves, not in a prideful way, but love ourselves in a way that he sees us, where you look at the canvas of how he made you and you don't tell the painter that you're disappointed with how he put red in the bottom corner and he put some blue where you don't like it and he did some things on the canvas that you don't appreciate. You don't tell the painter how to paint the canvas. He made you perfect in his image and we have to actually start to accept his gaze upon us and see us how he sees us. I actually wanted just to invite Colin up in this moment. This guy is probably the most authentic guy I know. And I just wanted to bring him up because we feel so honored to be a part of this family. From the moment I walked in a year ago, I just felt an authenticity in this room that was so beautiful. Ultimately, it's like my spirit man said, I'm home. This is the bride. They know my nature and they know who they are. When I brought my brother for the first time, all this man knows is to be authentic. All he knows is to be candid and raw and real. He's unconditional love. He bears an image of the Father that is so unique and crafted perfectly that I haven't seen in others. Chromosome 21 is not a mistake. I believe it's perfectly hand-knit to make him who he truly is, right? Yeah, and I just wanted to share that because all he knows is authenticity and freedom, when he walked in here, he became fully himself because he recognized freedom in the room. And so I want to encourage us as a church that we're in a beautiful place and we're going even deeper into his heart. Yeah, I just wanted Colin to ask you, bud, like how much do you love Jesus, buddy?
Yeah, every day, man, every day. Every day.
Tell me a little bit about worship, what worship means to you.
Worship is done cross and from spirit and of zeal and just carrying the cross as God stands. Yeah.
Amazing. And you dance here, which is incredible. You jump around. You actually worship basically every day of your life, all day long. He's wore holes in the floor by jumping up and down. It's amazing. Why do you jump and sing and dance?
Say, honey, let's be a name. And you know, Christ. Yeah.
Christ is in you. When you're dancing and singing, do you feel the presence of Jesus in you?
Yeah.
Wow. That's amazing. That's amazing. You have such a love in your authenticity for others as being your brother. We basically never fought because if you did something to me or I did something to you, I'd kind of get angry. And then I'd say something to you and you'd be like, Brandon, I'm so sorry. And then I'd melt because I'd feel so much shame. And then you'd hug me and we'd be good. Did the Holy Spirit give you this beautiful, unique ability to love unconditionally?
Yeah.
Yeah. And you love to love. Mm-hmm. And you know that he loves you, right? I was just going to maybe ask you to just pray a little bit before we do communion. And you just pray that the Bible says that, like, I am in you and you are in me. We are all in one, encompassed together, locked in this beautiful dance together. And I just want you to just pray over the cross for us as we partake in communion.
Yeah, so, yeah, first, let's pray. Dear Lord, bless us in this bodies and let's give him a cross and, you know, amazing. Just a sound here, just giving them calls, and they were saying, cry about your peace, your heart's better, your cross glowing, and your motherfucking, you know, I miss that shit, so I see her dying, yeah, well, missing grace, you know, never lords, and Kimmy Keynes, left guard. You know, I miss that shit, so I see her wonderful. I love you, sister. You know, I miss and mingles, I love you. I press you. Holy Spirit. My brother is a good kid. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Carl. Oh, that's so special, bro. I love you, man. Oh, so good. So good. Wow. Thank you, Jesus. You're awesome, buddy.